desire your prayers again this evening. I have a little thought to not necessarily add to what we have this morning, but somewhat relates to it. This morning we spoke of grace, and grace for grace, and grace simply being God's divine favor and influence in our lives. But this evening I want to speak about divine preparations. So I'll write that on the board here. When you think of divine preparations, well, first of all, consider just preparations in general. I know, no doubt all of us have taken trips, different places, different caliber of trips. Sometimes maybe if it's a week or 2 week long trip, or maybe just a 1 day trip. Regardless, there's a lot of preparations that take place. And I remember last year when we took a little 2 week vacation. We'd never taken one that long before. And not just the four in our family, but also our nephew Logan went with us. So there's five of us. And I remember when we first started planning that, I'm thinking, okay, this is a little different caliber of trip than we've ever taken before. So I better think way ahead in a lot of aspects. Not just the routes we would take, but the places we would stay, and try to get somewhat of a itinerary, and of course have plenty of funds available, and preparations, make sure the spare tire is adequate, and that the van is in good working order, and got plenty of clothes packed, and got some snack, you know, the long, all kinds of things you had to prepare for. But that's just in the literal sense. There's a lot of things, no doubt. If we talk to some of the sisters here that have cooked some big meals, especially come Thanksgiving or Christmas time, there's a lot of thought, a lot of preparation goes into that too. You don't just wake up the Thanksgiving morning and go, oh, well, let's have a big Thanksgiving dinner and invite everybody over. It probably wouldn't work well that way, would it? It's a lot of forethought, a lot of planning, a lot of effort goes into it for it to be accomplished in a successful manner. But there's, I want to consider this in a spiritual sense. There's a scripture in Psalms 139 that kind of gets us started here tonight. Psalms 139, verse 17. It says, "How precious are thy thoughts, unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them!" You know, it's amazing if we're to step back and consider all the things that God has done for us. And that's amazing in itself. But then to consider all the things that God can do for us and will do for us. That's amazing in itself. But considering the scripture, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. And how many times, we'll step back into the literal sense here, has someone prepared something special just for you? I remember one time somebody made a pie just for me. my favorite type of pie. And that meant so much to me. And how many times has someone else prepared something just especially for you? Whether it be, you know, whether it's a, you know, a birthday dinner or a cake or whatever it is, but they were thinking of you, what your preferences are, what your, whatever it is, or the things that you like and enjoy and all those things. And for someone to think about that and to think about you and what you would need or what you would enjoy or whatever it is, and it's all prepared and fixed for you. And then all you have to do is partake of it. That's amazing, is it not? But you know, that's what God did for us as well. And you consider all the times in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, everything leading up to Christ, He was preparing the way for Christ to come into the world. All the prophecies, all the prophets, the everything with the children of Israel, the law and the tabernacle and the temple and all those things paving the way for Jesus Christ to come into the world. And then once Jesus came, here's the amazing thing. He was still preparing the way for something even far greater than what He was able to do in the flesh. He paved the way for the Holy Spirit to come. And you remember what Jesus said? That I will not leave you comfortless. I will send the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to comfort you. Someone to be with you individually. And it was amazing for Christ to be in the flesh with His disciples and to the beginnings of the church, you know, laying the foundation. And that was amazing that they were able to be with Jesus. But that was just the beginnings, you see. But God was preparing something far greater, preparing the foundation of the church and for it to grow worldwide. Well, now I want to consider, speaking of Jesus and His ministry, I want to read just a few scriptures to emphasize how that He specifically was preparing His disciples and looking out for them. In Matthew 28 and verse 7 is a scripture. Let me just turn and read. Matthew 28, verse 7 says, and this is after Jesus had been resurrected. He said, and go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And behold, He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see Him. Lo, I have told you. And let's go on down. And this is what He was doing. Verses 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What a comforting thought here. Not only was Jesus with them in the flesh, and He's fixing to leave them in the flesh, but it said here earlier, He goeth before you into Galilee. He was setting the table, okay, for preparing them that I'm going to leave you in the flesh. But again, I'm going to send, and we won't turn and read the scriptures about that, but I'm going to send the Comforter in my place to be with you. And that's why He was able to say, I am with you always. What He's saying here is, you're not going to be alone. I'm preparing something so special, above and beyond what you've ever experienced before, where I can be with you every day, of every hour of every day. And truly, that was the case. When the Holy Ghost was sent, on the day of Pentecost, something changed. And the power that the members of the new, the established of the new church, I guess you could say it that way, the kingdom of God that was established there, there was something that they were able to go out with power and even heal others with diseases. They weren't able to do that before, but they were endued with power from on high, proving that Jesus' Spirit was with them and working in them and through them. Well, again, what a comfort to know Jesus was paving the way for them. And here in John 14 and 1 is a couple more scriptures I want to read. John 14, verses 1 and 2. This is Jesus speaking again, comforting his disciples. Verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So again, you can apply this in a couple of ways in a spiritual realm, as far as giving them spiritual power and authority. But beyond that, it was preparing a place in heaven for each and every one, preparing something beautiful, something to look forward to, something as an anchor to the soul, that I'm not just living this life for what I see around me and that's all I get. You see what I'm saying? He's saying, no, I'm going to prepare something that's out of this world, literally and figuratively. Something that is, the reward is beyond explanation. Jesus couldn't explain it to him in every detail. He's saying, I go to prepare a place for you. There is a reward to those that are faithful to the Lord that is without, well, as some of the writers said, they couldn't explain it. Yes, there were some things, if you could say, some adjectives, you know, that the feeling, the colors, the beauty of it and all those things. But just the fact that there's no sin, there's no enemy there, it's complete bliss and freedom and peace without explanation. There's just a beautiful place to be in. And he's saying here, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, again, this is something I encourage you at times, and perhaps you already do this, but when times get rough in your walk with the Lord, not because of the lack on his side, but perhaps maybe you find yourself where you're lacking, or maybe you're greatly challenged, or whatever the case is, I encourage you to do this. Think upon, the scriptures say in Philippians 4 and 8, think of whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely. Think on these things. Things that are of good report. I encourage you, think upon your reward in heaven. That if I'm faithful, Lord, if I can persevere through this, that my reward in heaven is worth more than anything I could go through here on earth. And I encourage you and challenge you to do that on an occasion. We can't spend all our time doing that. But I'm just saying, there are times in life that if you can step back and ponder what God has prepared to those that are faithful to Him, that reward is without measure. That reward is something to be desired. It's something that, heaven will be worth it all. Now I want to read another scripture in Matthew 25 and 34. That relates to what we were just saying. Matthew 25, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Again, ye blessed of my Father. That means those that have been faithful to the Lord. Those that God has blessed. And because of their faithfulness to the Lord, he said, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Now, when we consider this, inherit. If you inherit something, does that mean you actually, that you, how can I word this? If you inherit something, that means that you didn't actually work for it, per se. It wasn't something that you conjured up yourself, but it's something that someone gave you freely. All right? Because you're associated with them. I've heard of many times people that would inherit a rather wealthy estate from their parents or their grandparents or even a business. I've heard of many stories of those that perhaps their parents or grandparents ran a very successful business and very profitable, became millionaires, billionaires, whatever. But they get old and they die, and so they pass it on to their children or their grandchildren, and maybe it goes good for one or two generations, but then after a while, it doesn't always happen this way, but you've heard of the stories where the children or grandchildren, they don't have the same desire or the same passion or the same whatever. They lose the desire for it, to see it to prosper. They don't put into it all the effort and the work that their parents or grandparents did. And then sometimes they go bankrupt, or they just sell out to someone else, and it crumbles, you know, in the sense that there's nothing left and it just goes on. Someone else, maybe the business closes forever, or someone else buys it and creates another business from it. But I want to tell you something. That's not like the kingdom of heaven. You know, we have those going all the way back to the founding fathers of the church, the apostles, the disciples. This kingdom that was established, not just the earthly kingdom, it wasn't what the disciples were thinking, but this was a spiritual kingdom. And where we could become kings and priests, and something that we could inherit power even now as we live. And then here's the amazing thing. We've seen this kingdom, not a business necessarily, but if you understand what I'm saying, we've seen this kingdom grow. Yes, there are others out there, other religions or other movements or other whatever, where they crumble by the wayside. Scriptures talk about Babylon has fallen. But the kingdom of God has ever increased, not just on this earth, because it's grown where it's nation, not just nationwide, worldwide. But the other amazing thing is this kingdom, as our song, one of our songs says, it actually increases within. The kingdom, it's increasing and growing. That means we have greater power and authority over things to conquer things in our lives. But that's the amazing thing is, not only here on this earth, that we can inherit the kingdom now, the power and authority now to be kings and priests, but ultimately in heaven. That we have a kingdom, we have a heaven to gain, a mansion to gain. Isn't that a wonderful reward to think about? Well, considering all these things, I want to go back again to the Old Testament. Again, divine preparations. You remember with Adam and Eve. And they sinned, they fell away from God. The serpent deceived them, tricked them. But you know, immediately following that, Brother Michael Smith brought this out at Monarch, the prophecy of Jesus Christ, where the seed of the woman was going to bruise the head of the serpent, of Satan. And that's exactly what happened. That it was prophesying of what was to come eventually, when Jesus was to come, that he was going to bring power and authority to conquer Satan. And that's exactly what happened. And you consider, this is way back with Adam and Eve, a prophecy of what Jesus was going to come and do for us. Again, preparing, paving the way for us. 2,000 years later, after Jesus was here in the flesh, way back in the foundation of time in the Old Testament, around 6,000 years ago, preparing the way for you and I to be victorious. Isn't that amazing to think about? And we think about planning just days or weeks ahead of taking a trip. All we can think about is that short a time frame. And maybe even some people that start a business, they may plan years planning to grow and build a business. But we're talking about the plan, the wonderful plan of salvation, that all the way back with Adam and Eve, God had a plan, a redemption plan. Well, then you remember Noah and the ark. God prepared a way to spare Noah and his family. Because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was something there. God was preparing something. Now, of course, Noah had to build the ark. Well, he had different ones hired, obviously, to build it. But who designed the ark? Was Noah an engineer? Was he a boat engineer, a designer? Oh, he wasn't. God prepared the design, a perfect design of a boat that would hold hundreds of animals and food and water and Noah's family, and to sustain them for 40 days and 40 nights. That's amazing. I dare you to go try it yourself. Just with a few animals in your family. Build you a boat. You see what I'm saying? God was preparing something special just for Noah and his family because he loved them. Because Noah was faithful to God. You see what I'm saying? And just in the literal sense, that's amazing. But again, God had greater plans than that. He wanted Noah's seed to prosper. And truly that is what happened. Well, then you remember Moses and the children of Israel. Do you think any general, commander, whatever you want to call them, could come up with such a plan as God did to deliver your people, a couple million people, from being slaves in a heathen nation? But consider what God did. He started out by calling a man Moses that was way out in the wilderness. But Moses had been learning some tough lessons of life, you see. God had been working with Moses. And Moses got, if you could say, God inspired him to come back to Egypt and to lead us. But even during this time of Moses going back to Egypt saying, okay, I'm going to come, you know, lead you people out of here. But yet God knew that, you know what? These people are going to need to see some things first. Because they were weak in faith. You know, they've been in, as a nation, have been down in Egypt for over 400 years. And Moses had been gone for about 40 years there. And so he's like, you know, I'm going to do something. And he enables, through his divine power, sends Moses out there, and these 10 plagues that come to Egypt. You know what God was doing? He was preparing not just Moses for some great task ahead, but he was preparing his people, the children of Israel, preparing their hearts, inspiring their faith, encouraging them to build confidence, not just in Moses as their leader, but to build confidence in the Lord, their God. And God's saying, I want to be your God. I want to deliver you out of this bondage from being slaves, take you out from here, and I want you to worship me. And that's exactly what they did. Worship me in the desert, and ultimately wanted to lead them to the land of Canaan. That took a little longer than was planned originally. But through all of this, God still had a plan and was preparing the way every step of the way. Isn't that amazing what God was doing? And then they get out there into the wilderness. And even though they rebelled, were stubborn, and lacked faith in going over to the land of Canaan because of the giants, yet God was faithful to them. Delivered them multiple times from their enemies as they're wandering around. These are just nomads. They weren't any trained army, but God came to their rescue. Again, preparing the way for them to ultimately go into the land of Canaan. Trying to, again, establish who He was as their God. Gave them the law as a foundation for their faith. And at the same time, through the Old Testament law and all the different, not just the ceremonies, but the different practices and the cleaning rituals and all the different things that they did, it was to protect them physically too, to preserve them, to keep diseases, you know, washing your hands and doing all the different things they were supposed to do. It was to keep them clean It was to preserve them from disease and all kinds of things that could spread. God was preparing the way, you see. And then, of course, get in the land of Canaan, and that's a whole other story in itself. And then, after that, all the judges, the prophets, the kings, the good kings, all through the ages, God was preparing a plan, preparing the way. And then John the Baptist, he sent John the Baptist, again, preparing the way for Christ. And I know I've mentioned this before, but I want to say it again. You know, sometimes God, He'll put you in a place in your life, you know, seeking, desiring to serve the Lord. And He'll put you in a particular place or position. And you have to step back and you wonder, what's God doing here? Well, what's God preparing? What's ahead? Now, I want to consider again, when Jesus came, you know, many consider the birth of Jesus, of course, it was a miracle in itself, but that He came in this lowly little town of Bethlehem, of Judea. It wasn't some big city somewhere, but yet, where Jesus was born, where He was raised, God had a plan, a marvelous plan. There was a reason why He was put there. It was at the crossroads of the world. And yes, there were some difficult things that not only Jesus, but His followers after Him went through a lot of persecution. Because all the nations, one tiny little nation, Israel, in the midst of all the rest of the known world, in the little town Bethlehem where Jesus is born, seems so minute, so just kind of a little tiny speck on the radar. Like, what was God thinking? What was He doing? But God had a plan, you see. He was preparing the way. Because number one, He didn't want His followers, Jesus' followers, although at first they were still looking for a literal kingdom. But God said, no, I want to confound the wise here. And do the unexpected. And to prove My power upon those that follow after Me. He was taking, and then even his disciples. A lot of them were fishermen, unlearned men. And yet He was choosing them to be the front runners of the gospel. Doesn't make sense. But God was preparing a way, you see, for the gospel to be spread. Because He didn't want the focus to be upon men and their abilities and their lineage and what city I was from. And, you know, and it was the same with Jesus. He didn't have any bragging rights. Well, just some little town in Bethlehem. But you see, God in His wisdom designed it this way so that the focus would be upon the power of God. And not upon the power and the abilities and the cunningness and the craftiness of men. Because that's what men do in the flesh. You look at all the big empires throughout the ages and their leaders. They were amazingly skilled. And there were certain things, I mean, it was in some senses they were predictable, you know, what they were, I mean, but yet here comes Jesus Christ. And even His last week on earth, He comes riding in on a donkey. He didn't come riding in with a big chariot and a bunch of soldiers or, you know, armed guards, you know, to protect Him. No, He just came riding in on a little donkey. But again, God providing and preparing the way for His true plan of salvation, for us to focus upon God alone and not upon all the other peripheral things. Well, and when Jesus came, and again at the crossroads of the world, all the different trading routes went right through that area. God had a plan. And the Romans, consider this for a moment. The Roman Empire, one of the greatest empires, and to consider what they did. Yes, they were a thorn in the sides of the Jews and even the believers of Jesus after Jesus was gone. But you know what the Romans did? The Romans built these magnificent roads that made travel so much easier. And you know what? With the ease of traveling, it made it easier to then spread the gospel. You see, all along, God knew what He was doing. He was preparing the way to bring Jesus' Son in this earth right at the time of the Roman Empire, which, see, and they thought they were going to try to crush Christianity. But you know, they did the opposite. With their so-called crushing, persecuting the church, ultimately, of course, the Roman Empire fell, but it was that crushing, that the persecution of the believers that then spread, boom, the gospel, traveling many times on these roads that the Roman Empire built. Their very enemies, they were able to use those things to the furtherance of the gospel. You know, I step back and I look at that and I think, that's amazing. And I have to think of the scripture that I've used so many times, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. You know, you consider the early church, they didn't see it as good. There was much persecution they had to deal with from not just the Romans, but others. But it was all working for their good. God had a bigger plan in mind than what they could see just even in their own lifetimes. But it took generations of this building and growing. And they were just a little tiny piece in God's plan. But yet, they were part of God's plan. And preparing the way for the gospel to be spread. Now it brings us to where we are at today. You know that God, I want to remind us of the scripture I read at the very beginning. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. You know God's thoughts towards us as believers and followers of Christ are precious still. That the things that we perhaps, the crosses we carry, the persecution we may endure, the loads that we carry. You realize God is preparing us for something? He's preparing us for heaven, ultimately. You know, if we're to step back and think in our own lives, you know, there's a lot of things I could think of when I was younger. Plans that I'd have for my life and how I'd want it to turn out and do this and that and whatever. Just in my own thinking, you know. And it's all right to plan and have dreams when you're young. But I want to tell you something. 20 years ago, I didn't see myself doing what I'm doing today. But I want to tell you something. God knows how to get you and I to heaven. He's proved He's capable of doing that. Just what He did throughout the whole Bible of individuals that their heart was set on serving the Lord. He's like, okay, hang on, we're going to go for a ride. But through that ride, this adventure of serving and living for God, He's saying, I will not leave you comfortless. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to send the Comforter to go with you each and every day, every step of the way. And God's saying, just hang on. Let me work these things for your good. Let me help mature you in some areas that you thought you were adequate in. And God has a way of bringing us through some times where we realize, I need some maturity here. I need to grow up a little bit. You know, I've even heard adults, I'll say elders, those in their 60s and 70s, and still saying, you know what? I'm still learning. I'm still learning what it means to follow God, what it means to trust the Lord, what it means to grow in grace, what all those things, I'm still learning. You know, that gives me hope. That gives me courage that I'm on the right path because I'm learning too. So I want us all to be encouraged here tonight that God, through His divine providence and His divine power, and of course, as I mentioned earlier this morning, coupled with His grace, His divine assistance, is preparing us for our eternal home. And all along the way, I still remember years ago, Brother Keith Fuller, when he held a revival at Neosho. It's an image I'll never forget. Now, we as humans, all we can see is this tiny little picture, what's right in front of us. We don't see what God's preparing, what He's doing behind the scenes, and how He's orchestrating things in our life to work for our good, and to get us to heaven, and to mature spiritually, and to perfect those things that need perfected in our lives. All we see is this tiny little picture, tiny little window here, little peephole, so to speak. But God sees the big picture. God sees the eternal plan. God sees it all. He sees your life. He sees my life. He sees the lives that we're going to rub shoulders with. He sees everything. And His eternal goal is heaven. And so He's the one that sees the big picture. You know, that brings comfort to me. To know, as the prophecies said, the government shall be upon His shoulder. That I don't have to sit back every night and try to figure out what God is doing. And to try to give Him counsel. Because the Scripture says He is the Counselor. He is the Creator. He is the King. The King of Kings. He's the one in control. I'm not. So the challenge for me is to trust in His divine preparations. All He's doing is preparing us for heaven. And He's not going to harm us. He's not going to intentionally discourage us or crush us or run us off. No, He's not going to do that. He's just preparing us for heaven. And in the meantime, let's trust in that. Let's trust in His wisdom. Trust in His love. We mentioned earlier about in the fold of His love, let me hide. Let's trust in that. That God knows what He's doing. He loves us. The Scripture said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know, that was a divine preparation. He had you and I in mind. He wanted us to make it to heaven. Therefore, He gave His only begotten Son. And we read in the Gospels here of His life. And it's beautiful to see how Jesus, without blemish, without stain of sin, anything, persevered through all of that and was victorious. And what better way to pave the way for you and I that we can live the same type of victorious life through God's divine power and His influence and His preparations in our life. You pray for me that I be faithful to Him.